because it stomps on my toes. But I feel like it's what the Holy Spirit would have us to talk about tonight. And so what we're going to go over tonight is, the title of this is, What's Your Idol? What's Your Idol? Back in the Old Testament, it was common for heathen nations to have idols that they worshipped. Israel, they fell into the sin of adopting the same practices and got in trouble for it over and over. Today, there's still many people. You may even know some people personally who have idols in their home. A little statue or something that they feel brings them peace, joy, blessings, or whatever. We don't, because we're Christians.
Right.
Or do we? In Colossians chapter 3, if you look in verse 5, Paul is speaking here, and he's talking to Christians. That's us. And he says in verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. So he puts covetousness and idolatry on the same level and really with the same definition.
Yes.
Let's pray and then we'll continue. Father, I do thank you for your word. Lord, your word is a mirror to show us what we are. Lord, I pray that you would help me to see a clearer picture of my sin. Lord, I pray that you would shine a light on it. Lord, I ask that you would help me tonight to say what you want me to say so that your message is accurately delivered to your people. Lord, I pray that you would help us to draw closer to you because of it.
Yes.
I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Modern day idolatry is simply covetousness. And just to give you Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of an idol, this is it. A person loved and honored to adoration. A person. Anything. And it gives an example here. It says, the prince was the idol of the people. Then it says, anything on which we set our affections, that to which we indulge an excessive and sinful attachment. That's an idol. So it can be a person. I'm sure you've heard of the American Idol. Maybe have even watched it before. And then, of course, there are superstars, football superstars, movie superstars that are idols of some people.
Yeah.
Nobody in here, of course. But that's what they are.
Yeah.
That person who is honored to adoration. You see pictures of them all over that person's wall. But it could be something, any object on which we set our affections, that to which we indulge an excessive and sinful attachment. And Paul puts covetousness and idolatry on the same level here. And he says in the beginning of the verse to mortify these things. That basically means to crucify our sins or our idolatrous behavior. Okay? Every time you intentionally die to self, you're strengthening the spirit. The opposite is also true. Every time we feed the spirit, or feed the flesh, I'm sorry, then the spirit grows weaker. Turn to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8. Paul talks about this quite a bit. Romans chapter 8, in verse 13, he says, "For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you live through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live." I like those last four words.
Yeah.
"Ye shall live." I like that because that's what we all want.
Mm.
We all want to have a wonderful life. Not a drudgery life. Not a life of misery. Not a life of unhappiness. We want to live. Right?
Right.
Sometimes you even hear people say, "Get a life."
Yeah.
But in order to do that, we have, it's kind of odd to understand from a human perspective. But in order to have this life that God's talking about, we have to crucify our selfish, our fleshly desires. Right?
Right.
It's not that God didn't give us a way of escape. I find it difficult from time to time throughout my life to crucify the flesh.
Yes.
And many times I feel like I just didn't have the strength to do it at that time. God promises us in His Word that He will give us a way of escape.
Amen.
So that we are not bound to sin. And that's true. He does. The problem is we choose to ignore that way that He provided of escape. And we choose to do it time and time again. What we're talking about again tonight is idol worship. After we have yielded to our flesh enough, then it does become nearly impossible to yield to the Spirit. And I say nearly because it's never completely impossible. God's power always resides in us.
Amen.
But we can, as Paul describes it, we can strengthen the flesh to a point that the spirit is so weak that the spirit constantly loses the battle. And the flesh constantly wins. And every time it wins, it gets even stronger. My question to you tonight is, what's your idol? And I'm not talking about this little statue that looks like Buddha. I really don't think anybody in here has one of those, at least I hope, or Mary. What is it that's got a grip on you, that you can't break loose from. The truth is, sometimes, I don't know about you, but some of us Christians tend to look down on people who are addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography. We even say to them, can't you see what it's doing to you? And yes, that's not this little statue in their house. But they idolize it. Remember the definition of an idol. That to which we indulge an excessive and sinful attachment. You know, Paul makes it very clear that if I'm addicted to something, I got a problem. He even said, I'm not going to allow anything to have any control over me but the Holy Spirit. Anything. And yet we look down on people who have an addiction. But we can't go without that show or that series or whatever for any length of time. We can't even go without social media for any length of time. We say we can. Then when we try it, we start getting the shakes. Paul said to mortify these things. And there's many things here. Money. Even work. Some people are workaholics. All kinds of things. And I'm not going to try to make an exhaustive list here of things that could possibly be your idol. You know what it probably is. But Paul said here to mortify these things. Some of these things may not be bad in and of themselves. Money is not bad. The love of it is.
Yeah.
And that's where the problem begins. TV isn't bad. Some of the stuff you find on it is. Social media is not even bad. But some of the stuff on it is.
Yeah.
The amount of time we spend on it could be. If you don't think you're addicted to anything, just try to go a span of time without it. That will open our eyes to some things.
Yes.
How much of a grip that it has on us.
Right.
The flesh is strong.
Right.
And in many occasions, it's too strong. It's real strong.
Yes,
and we don't recognize it until we try to break away from whatever that idol is.
It's true.
Turn to Exodus, if you would. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus 20 is the chapter where the Ten Commandments are listed. We're actually going to read several verses here, starting in verse 1. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Now, I want you to notice, as we have read through the Ten Commandments, how much that God said about having no other gods or idols. He started in verse 3, and it goes on down all the way to verse 6. Then when you get to verse 13, thou shalt not kill. That's all he said about murder. He just said, don't do it.
Right.
You and I probably, in our minds, place murder at probably the top of the list, or at least one of the top three of the most worst things you could ever do. In our country, it's possible that if you murder somebody, that you could suffer capital punishment, which I believe you should.
Yes.
Yet God spends a whole lot more time talking about having no other gods, no other idol, but only Him. It's as though He is a lot more concerned about that than He is you or I killing someone. Or even stealing.
Yeah.
Even committing adultery. Or lying. We consider these things really bad, and they are. Why is it that God stresses that we are to not have other gods? And I believe that it's because we are giving inordinate amounts of attention to other things, which is diverting our commitment, our love, and our attention to God.
Amen.
No wonder we have a Sunday Christianity.
Yeah.
Seldom think about, maybe even seldom talk to, God throughout the week. We have other gods. I'm not talking about those people out there.
Right.
I'm talking about us.
Right.
What's got a grip on you? What is your idol? I want to give you hope that you can break loose. In fact, turn to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Paul addresses the issue here. In fact, I believe Romans chapter 7, he talks about it pretty in depth, and in Romans chapter 8. But here in Romans chapter 6, in verse 6, he says this: knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is encouraging, because what it's telling us here is that God has put the power to say no to our idolatry and our covetousness already.
Amen.
It's here.
Yes.
We have that power. Our part is to trust Him for that strength and to create some distance between us and that idol. God is not going to create that distance. He gives us the strength to do it. He gives us the wisdom, the knowledge, the, in other words, He makes us aware of, hey, this is your idol.
Yeah.
Then our part is to create some distance there. It may be that the idol, again, isn't bad. Such as money. Money isn't bad. But if you or I have an inordinate affection towards stuff that money can buy, then we need to create some distance between our buying,
yeah,
our shopping, our scrolling through Amazon,
yeah,
or whatever other place that you find enjoyment in shopping things for things. Mm-hmm. Whatever the idol may be, TV, social media, your phone, too much sleep, whatever it may be, create some distance between you and it. Some people would use the term fasting. In other words, I'm going to go on a 7-day fast from buying anything. I'm not going to spend a dime that I don't absolutely have to. Or I'm going to go a month and never look at social media. Create some distance. God's not going to do that. He's going to give us the power to. Then it's going to be up to us to do it, right? Here's your homework. Take close inventory of the amount of time or attention that you are giving to the things in your life that seem to have a fleshly pull on you. Take inventory. Number two, commit to going for a period of time without it. Create some distance between you and it, whatever that may be. Number three, write down your commitment. This is biblical. Moses told the children of Israel to do it. Remember in Deuteronomy chapter 6 where he says, write it on the doorpost of your house. Write it on the gate. Why did he say that? Because nobody climbs out the windows when they're leaving the house. So when you walk through the door, you're going to see that sign and it's going to remind you. The truth is, somebody in here tonight might be motivated right now to do this. But 2 weeks from now, you won't be. That's just how we are.
Yeah.
That's why Moses said, write it down and put it on that doorpost and on the gate. Today, it might be your bathroom mirror or your refrigerator. We need that.
Yeah.
We're humans. We forget. We lose steam. We lose motivation. We forget how important it really is. And then we quit. Write it down. Number four. A month from now, do all three of these all over again. Take close inventory of anything that you might be spending too much time or attention on that has a fleshly pull on you. If you need to, write it down again unless it's still posted up there. You might even tell somebody about it. I know that's pretty daring, because if we decide to slip, we don't want them to know. Well, that's the whole point of having accountability right there. They need to know so that they can say, didn't you say you were going to go a week without that? Then in a month later, do it again. This thing of idol worship is strangling us. And it's causing us problems.
That's right.
Spiritual problems. So I challenge you to do these things of your homework. And I hope and pray that it'll help you, because it has certainly convicted my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that you would help us to take an honest look at ourselves and the things that we show attention to. Lord, I pray that you would help us to repent, call on you for forgiveness, and to take action to create distance between us and those things. Lord, I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and turn to 490.